The nation has lived through the reality of another week of alliance and non-alliance politics. Let's speak to Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Welcome, Neil.
Yeah, Chris, very good morning. And to now what I can call the BizNews family. What a morning to say, go Boca, go Boca, go Boca.
National pride.
Yeah, great to start a weekend, Chris, without for once the downing drains of darkest politics and to have a glimmer of a bit of great sunshine, light of a national team that won yesterday, but a shocker to the SABC, who, in my opinion, drew a cowardly note yesterday morning only to announce to this country that they will not be broadcasting our Springbok team's game. And I found it absolutely sad and shocking. No matter the consequence, the discussions of money, this is a unifier. Die Springbokke maak ons een. The national team unifies this country more than any politician or party can. So I just wanted to say my black sheep of the week is undoubtedly this SABC who got it wrong. Because we as a country need any kind of good news, of good glimmer. And can you imagine thousands of people getting their Ulofberg, their choppy ready to go and watch this game because they can't afford DSTV or they can't afford the tickets at the game. They plan their life around this huge occasion and they were let down. So I thought I'll just say that is not the right thing and I hope that we can change that in the future.
Well, maybe Gayton, our new Minister of Sports and Arts and Culture, can do something about that. Neil, sorry to take you from a winning team to the composition of the cabinet of the Government of National Unity. What do you make of those ministerial appointments?
Chris, the problem that you've got is too many chefs. I mean, this is a cliche. We have a combined minister and deputy minister portfolio grouping of 75 people. You know what is astonishing is 32 ministers, 43 deputy ministers. We now see major parties in the GNU, whom actually made one of their policy voting platform discussions the size of the cabinet. The mere statement that they said that we are going to half cabinet, in a cut cabinet, and now they sit there, part of that bloated cabinet is absolutely, to me, ridiculous and hypocritical. The other problem is, I don't know if you know it, but after analyzing this cabinet, is it also not shocking to know that out of these 75 ministers, that 41 of them have been charged. And out of the 41 that actually faced charges criminally, that of that 41, 12 of them are still ongoing cases. So not only do you have this colorful, rainbow color, rainbow size of a cabinet, but some of them are charged on being criminals. So that's the one thing that makes me frown. I mean, you just saw the absolute hypocritical manner in which the ANC continually speaks about renewal, about change, about throttling corruption. Zizi Kodwa falls on his own sword, gets hoisted by his own batard, goes to court and gets charged, and then walks into parliament the next week merrily and takes an oath of office to uphold the constitution. Just that one person. That's ridiculous. So no, this is not a good news story on many of these people who are sitting in that bloated chair. But what is more the problem, Chris, is that we've rehashed some of the old, where we had an opportunity to now cut out the dying roots, and we just brought them back. So there are certain of these ministries that I'd like to focus on and tell you what is the critical 100-day forwarding, and some of them that are just utter ridiculous.
Please go ahead.
I mean, let's start with the pinnacle. You know, Chris, I always look at safety security cluster first. We have Angie Motshekga that's moved from a dismal failing basic education ministry, where we got the so-called 30%. That was an absolute disaster, no matter how she wants to paint the zebra. And she moves over now to the Minister of Defense. Now, when she was asked, what kind of knowledge and expertise does she have in defense? Her statement was that she doesn't need to have it because she's not going to go fight in the bush. She's not a soldier. Now, that statement on its own sends shivers down my spine. Because if she did that to 30% basic education, is she going to say that she's only going to get a 30% hit rate on protecting this country? So that is the naiveness of the debate, where I told you before, I would prefer, not in all, but on the critical algorithm points of this country, defense, police, health, education, infrastructure, and finance. There we go. That we get people in that position, because that is what I call the critical backbone of a nation. So here we go, and we take a Minister of Education that failed. She failed. And you take that person to defense, which currently is a failure. Now, why am I saying it? Because there are people in the defense force who talk to me. I come from there. It's not a good news story. We have soldiers currently deployed in foreign countries. They're not dying. And I'm telling you, one of them told me clear, and I won't tell you his name, it's my right, but a shocking story that they were deployed without the support of food, the support of air wing power, and the support of basic logistics. But we deployed them. So we need a strong minister that understands that scenario of when you deploy a military, you cannot deploy without support. Secondly, the military veterans of this country have sat for 30 years also in a department that has failed. They're not being registered. The actual registration and recognition of military veterans in this country are not happening on the so-called database, and therefore they're not getting their benefits. So the reason I mentioned this, Chris, is because now you see the depth of knowledge that you should have to go and sort out the Department of Defense. The second one is maybe a story of hope. Senzo, the new Minister of Police, might not have police experience. But because he comes from other departments where he was a minister, where I might say he actually did well. He stint within the water sanitation prologue, the public work scenario. He is a worker. Now, I think that should give us hope that he's actually a person who thinks. They call him a thinker. He's actually a person that thinks it through, goes into the motion, and he's not scared of getting his hands dirty. So there's a glimmer of hope. The other one where I did say, though, there might be a little bit of hope within the Ministry of Defense is the Deputy Minister, interesting, is General Bantolomisa. So I hope that General Holomisa, who is a person that comes from the military, in the past within Transkei, he actually went to military academy. So he's not an appointed person that got a medal in a bush. He's actually a qualified person that understands defense. So the hope there is that Angie Motshekga will lean on him to get some of that knowledge and experience to buffer that scenario of the ill knowledge that she has. The other one, Chris, is that I think we did the right move in keeping the same minister, Enoch Nongwana, in finance. And I think the markets, I think the world, did not react negatively to that. So that was a good thing. It was a stabilizer at the end of the day. The new Minister of Education, coming from the DA, I have hope. The unions might not, but I see within her aptitude, she has that attitude. I've worked with her at the NBC, and I think she's quite an intelligent, quite a robust person. So I look there, and then finally, might I tell you one of the things we really needed, also a good news story, is Dr. Leon Schreiber. Going into Home Affairs, I think, knowing Leon, he's already taking steps. He's an educated man. He is a principled person within sorting matters that he gets given on the table. So the character, Leon, put that aside. I'm not a person that is knowledgeable about the man, the character, but I'm just talking about how he takes on a matter like he did in the MPC. So he's the new minister. I see he's already made some pronouncements. And I hope there is something that comes good of it, because, Chris, we cannot continue with the current scenario of the foreign-based problem that we've got in this country. So there's a couple of things that I see are in the light. Gayton McKenzie, Minister of Sport, saw him jumping up and down yesterday in the stadium. He's got a character. Like or don't like him, that matters not. Is he going to perform in the Ministry of Sports, Arts and Culture? I'm telling you, and I might swallow my words, but here it comes. I think he's going to do well. I think he's got a character. He's got a passion. Forget about Gayton, the past. I think Gayton might do just well in that scenario. And for the rest, Chris, we have to sit back and we have to watch for the 100-day outcome. And that's important. What is expected in the first 100 days?
Quite. Neil, meanwhile, it has been a disastrous week for Alliance politics in Gauteng.
Yeah, the killing fields. I made a statement, I think, this week that went viral, when I said you can only imagine the citizens, not just of Gauteng, which is basically spread over your three nucleus areas, which is Tshwane, Johannesburg, and Ekurhuleni, whom all three are in a current, state of disaster. You just have to drive through Tshwane, Pretoria. You just have to go through Johannesburg and approach Ekurhuleni. You have to actually sit there, look at it, and say how the gold has rubbished. How our unbelievably iconic cities of the past have absolutely degenerated and have become, a rubbish dump and mess. There's no other way to say it. So we can't color this. We have huge challenges. I had the privilege about 2 months ago to meet the new mayor, Celia Brunk, of Tshwane. So when leaving him after having a good cup of coffee with him, I don't know why, but I got into the lift and I walked out and I went, there's hope for Tshwane. There's hope. No matter the unbelievable hill that he has to climb, his spirit and his attitude, I was absolutely saying here's a glimmer of hope. And then you go to the mayor of Joburg, and then the only thing you need to say is, what the hell? I mean, it's like, huh? Who is he? Where is he? What is he? And when was he? And you can actually see, when you take mayors that I know, like Jordan Hill Lewis, Celia Brunk that I know, person. And you have to equate that to this gentleman, dismal failure, near Darcy Whippy. I'm sorry, within him, I don't see a future. So we were hoping that with the huge amount of vote on the opposition side, no matter whom they are, against the ANC, that we would be able to remove Lusofi once and for all, because he is a walking disaster. And the voters spoke, Chris. In Gauteng, the voters got up and they said, nay, nay, get rid of them. But they didn't get a majority. And neither did the ANC. But the hope was that we could turn it around by balancing out the equity within the seats. So there we thought that within the government of national unity, we would have change. There we have it. But that it would filter down to the GPU, the government of provincial unity. And so did the loggerheads and fighting and discussions and debates continue. Helen Zilla coming to the forefront, Lusofi, and that absolute irritating little person who is like a buzzing bee that's at the wrong place. Nothing wrong with bees. They create honey. This one not. Fikile Mlula, who just continually buzzing, creates this wave of disparity. And there you've got a loggerhead position, Chris, and there you are. Lusofi coming to the point, having to postpone the announcement twice of his ABCs. And then at the last end, does a long protected television broadcast with Fikile and him. And while they're sitting there, by the way, I don't know if you saw it, I watched it. And as they were finished, the one reporter gets up and says, "So how are you going to run this province without the DA?" And Lusufi says, "No, we've not closed the door. We are still waiting for them to come back so that at 9 o'clock I can mention my cabinet." And then the guy says, "No, it's over. We just got the press release from the DA." He didn't know. While he was standing at the microphone, talking about how they still want inclusivity, how they want the DA to come aboard, the DA releases the press release to say they have decided to go to the opposition benches. When they did that, a shiver came down on me because I, in myself, have representation in one of the metros there. And I went, there we are, 5 years under a rule of what we had. I am saddened to the fact that those cities, that province, is going to fail dismally. If they don't, hurrah. But I don't have much hope.
Neil, what is happening inside the ANC at the moment, behind the scenes? There seems to be infighting and disparity.
Oh, the cracks are there. I think the cracks are now becoming so obvious. I think that anybody that comes there is shocked, not surprised. So your problem, Chris, is not going to be the continual discussion of the DA, the Freedom Front, the IFP. I think those things are going to settle and they're going to do what they need to do. I think the one that is the biggest and largest instability within the GNU are not those parties. It's the ANC. So you cannot deny that there is the CRU faction. There is undoubtedly the Paul Mashatile faction. And now this underwrited, bubbling factionalism of the influence of that person who just doesn't want to go away, Jacob Delihlehle Umsholozi Zuma. And that person has a massive influence in the ANC. You can't deny that. So here you've got the people backing the president and having to keep the president in power, because the alternative will for them be an absolute annihilation of their process. Paul Mashatile, sitting there as vice president, but under the gaze and the loom of apparent charges that are coming. And then you sit there with the people within the ANC who said that they have surrendered the struggle. And this new sentence, Chris, yeah, we will announce it now. Watch the space, like in many things we have predicted. Here it comes. The sentence you are now going to hear more and more in Parliament, more and more in this country from this RET and revolutionary faction is sellout. Sellouts. And this sellout propaganda, that new cliche, is what is going to be the make and break of the further split of the so-called mighty but fallen African National Congress.
And we're looking at an increasingly strong opposition in the Economic Freedom Fighters and former President Jacob Zuma's MK Party. Are we not, Neil?
Well, Chris, here's the thing. And take it as the verbiage that I will put on the table. We've actually not had a revolutionary, rude, and hugely negative opposition in the past 30 years. I think I'm correct. The opposition that we've had, being the DA for most of the time, have not been people that are feisty, revolutionary, rude, and attacking. They have been the majority of people that were orators. They could speak well, chirp well. You could go from the lines of Musi Baibani, the broken president, the broken country, even to John Steenhuisen, the way that they can speak and orate. But they are not rude people. They're not people that gaff you or people that can fire verbal missiles that are across the road and actually deploy and cause damage. That changed. This has changed in the 7th government of this republic. You are now going to have a absolute opposite of a attitude of opposition. Because actually, fundamentally, Chris, the new opposition of this republic and in parliament is no other than MK. Now, when you take on the MK animal and you put that in opposition with its loud chaffing, rather annoying and jealous side nephew, the EFF, you are going to see a barrage of choir, all of them getting together in one major song of sellout, traitor, white minority capital, the Madam Stooge, and they're going to take that as their reference every day. We are going to see a total different atmosphere, attitude, and discussion-based revolution in that parliament. It's going to be something to watch.
Indeed. Talking about discussion, another former president, Thabo Mbeki, has called for a national dialogue. What can that achieve, Neil?
Well, I'm not surprised. And may I say to you, the national dialogue that's called, no matter who called it, obviously that will now be also focused on his Thabo Mbeki call. And there will now be a political nuance and a clutter of mystified agenda. But no, I agree. I actually agree. And why do I agree that a national dialogue, which should consist of our clergy, our faith-based organizations, our NGOs, and people that come from, can I call it, community? And may I say why? The TRC failed. That's it. And I was part of that process. It failed. The intention of the TRC was great. The Waarheids en Versoenings Commissie, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I tell you right now, being a person that was part of that process, that it failed. And where did it fail? We only got to the T. That's it. We only got to the truth. So help me God. Not all the truth, though. But the truth that was delivered at the TRC hearings was shocking enough. Now, what happened there, Chris, was we were supposed to bring the truth out and then bring reconciliation. And I'm sorry, I'm open to debate. We never got to the R. This country never reconciled. Those governments, the ANC, the National Party, they left the reconciliation part up to us, Citizen X, the normal person, act myself. Did they really think that a flag could go down and a flag could go up after one of the most unbelievably dark histories of this country, in this continent, and that we would just get on with it? Well, Chris, we are a miracle because we kind of did. We didn't have mass slaughter on civil war. White did not attack and black did not come and murder. We've had our few uprisings. But in general, come now, this country has got along with it. It's the politicians in this country who do not want that reconciliation to be seamless. And they are the people that brought us back to racial-based politics. Absolutely they are. The white and black. So I would support wholeheartedly a scenario where we could have a national dialogue of this true state of the nation and where are we going in the next 3 decades. And I would implore people to get involved so that we could say this is a national audit of the morality, the dignity, and the future of this country. Absolutely.
Neil, may we go to Kenya, where an uprising forced that government to back down. Now, many pro-revolutionaries in this country feel inspired by what happened there.
Yes.
Have you picked up on that too?
Well, having been in Kenya,
there are people who feel that a revolution is probably, for them, the only option here.
Now, we closely monitored it. I have experience in Nairobi, Kenya. I've been there a couple of times. I worked on certain projects there, especially after you know, some of the faith-based attacks, which they call faith-based attacks there, of Al-Shabaab and ISIS, etc. I was in actual fact called at that stage in my private capacity to give opinion. Kenya has been a country, may I say, that has an economic good story, where that country grew economically and in actual fact became a diamond in the rough. And obviously, hugely supported by the United States of America. I think you know the relationship, Osama bin, bin Laden, that period brought in a scenario of where there was something fundamentalism growing within the African diaspora. And then we had Barack Obama visiting Kenya. I think you remember he came there. It was a huge scenario, West backing Kenya. But it also raised certain eyebrows as to now what would he do within the African continent on having that faith, that religious so-called war, being now brought to the African continent. But in general, may I tell you that the citizens of Kenya are a very peaceful country. They are not a revolutionary country where there is a continued diaspora of war. So this, what happened in the past 4 weeks under President Ruto, based on what he tabled the new financial bill of 2024, bringing up taxes, caused a massive youth revolution. It turned sad when, from riotous behavior, they started burning even up to Parliament, and I saw live rounds being used and people dying. And that spilled over here, not physically, but mentally. And yes, you're right. People were starting to say, even in our social media terminology, be careful, because if you continue selling out the country's revolution of the fight against poverty, that Kenya and what happened there does not come here. Now, that was based on the previous scenario of what we called the overthrowing of the Arab Spring, if you could remember, where several African countries were toppled in the past. So yeah, it raised an eyebrow, and I said, watch that, keep clear and see what happens. And I see now 2 days ago, the president actually capitulated and struck that bill off the table. So yes, at times, when you have such a united force, make no mistake, it has a huge bearing on government. But I believe that we kind of taken the pressure cooker off and we've got to get back to business for the 100 day. But also in the US, remember, geopolitics has a big impact on us, on this country. It might not now, but it will come. The US in November going to the polls of having the Biden and the Trump scenario. Biden not doing well. In actual fact, a lot of people saying that he's not going to make it. And obviously Trump being Trump, the barrage of insults and bombshells. And then lastly, what a great sudden change of a snap election called in the United Kingdom, and Rishi Sunak gone. And a new Labour government coming into charge, and what a change in the UK. So UK, done. France, currently, today, second poll, definitely Macron in a massive problem, because Le Pen from the conservative scenario, like so many European countries now, Chris, hedging to the right, going conservative. And that outcome expected today, and I think a possible change, and just before the Olympic Games. So world politics now coming to take a bit of a front seat, and our politics now having to go from front to bloody work. And a little bit of that.
Thank you, Neil. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, taking BizNews viewers through another dramatic week of alliance and disalliance politics in South Africa. Thank you, Neil, and I am Chris Steyn.